This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Now You're Talking. This is the show about the most interesting people and stories of Mississippi. I'm your host, editorial cartoonist Marshall Ramsey. Our guest today is the legendary Peter Zapatal. He's one of the most recent recipients of the Governor's Arts Award, which is a pretty big deal. Congratulations, Peter, on that one. He's also a five-time Emmy Award-winning puppeteer. Peter has had an illustrious career right here in Mississippi Public Broadcasting, so welcome home. That has spanned over several decades, and he recently retired as the director of the Puppet Arts Theater, a professional touring theater company. He's originally from Czechoslovakia. He has a master's degree in puppetry from the Academy of Performing Arts in Prague and immigrated with his family soon after, I guess, and came here to Mississippi. So he chose Mississippi like I did, although your story is much more exciting as well. Peter, man, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're
here.
Thank you. We'll dive into the interview in just a second, I guess, but it's good to have you back home.
Well, thank you, Marshall. Thank
you. Do you have like flashbacks when you come in this building? It's like PTSD.
Oh, every time.
Every time. I knew it.
Every time.
But it's like you get to meet your old, your family, your kids, because your puppets are all, they're all in glass cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool to get to come back and visit them.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So we got a great story to tell. Congratulations, like I said, on the Governor's Arts Award. That was a big thrill. But I want to touch on a couple things real quick before we dive into our interview. Number one, Lacey, I promised you I'd not bring up the Tennessee-Alabama basketball game, so I will not bring it up.
Jeez. You already broke your promise.
No, I have not. I guess I did technically bring it up. So, but I would have hoped you would have done the same thing to me.
Oh, man. Yeah, I probably would have. But I don't get to. Not this year. Maybe next year I can grill you on it on the air.
Well, the thing about Tennessee-Alabama, there's always opportunity for Alabama to be Tennessee. So it'll be okay. I think somehow you will be able to rub this in on me eventually. But just not today.
Well, that's our show. Thanks, everyone.
It was fun. It was great. It was great working with you. It was great. Hey, I want to throw out a few congratulations to some folks. Okay, for those of you who remember, about a year ago, an EF4 tornado just roared through Mississippi. It hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi first. It was 6 miles an hour, just short of an EF5 tornado. It's how violent this thing was. Mm. If you see the track, it literally kind of veered and hit just Rolling Fork right up the gut. It was awful. I was there like 3 or 4 days before speaking at the library. And then I went back right afterwards. Well, one of the people that, you know, I interviewed on with Jermaine and I put together a show immediately, and kudos to Jermaine, man. We got that thing put together quick. Mm-hmm. We put together a show of people that on different points on the map that got hit by the tornado, they all told their story. And one of those people was Natalie Perkins. Mm-hmm. I've known Natalie a long time. She is the editor of the Deer Creek Pilot, which is a really good little local newspaper. If you think about what a good little local newspaper should be, it is the Deer Creek Pilot.
Sure.
Does a great job. She also is the deputy director of the Sharkey County Emergency Management. So she was wearing two hats, right? So she was not only having to, I mean, she was, I think a good chunk of the kids were at a prom that night, and she got the phone call saying, hey, you know, the town's gone. Mm. And from that point on, she just kicked it in. Between doing the editor hat and doing the emergency management, she was working 18 to 19-hour days, going home, having fitful sleep. Can you imagine having flashbacks, nightmares, everything else? She was named one of the top women by USA Today in the country.
Well-deserved.
And she'll be the first one to tell you that other people deserved it more, because she's truly very humble and very modest. But this is one award that she deserved every ounce of it.
And so I will be the first person to tell her, no, this is yours.
No, it's yours.
It's interesting. I know we joke a lot about me coming from Alabama, but the name of my graduate program was community journalism, like how to make your journalism impact who surrounds you. And I think she is the poster child for how to do community journalism correctly.
Well, and if you saw the papers, and I have some of the copies of them still, she used my cartoons in them, and I was very happy. I did some special cartoons so she could have those. But, yeah, make it all about me now.
It is now you're talking with Marshall Ramsey.
Can't get away from me. But I'm just saying, but you look through the paper, and it was like, all basically the information that the people needed to know.
Right.
And she had some help. There were some people that came in, like Scott Boyd, another editor in the state, that came in and helped her get it out. I say that she deserves a Spot News Pulitzer Prize for that effort. It was just fantastic. But I'm very, very happy for her. It was just, we love it in Mississippi when our people do good on a national stage.
Yes.
Or do well on a national stage. Excuse me, because I had an English moment. But
you speak gooder English, Marshall.
Thank you. You know, it's my Sprayberry High education just coming out there.
Right.
I don't know about your Sunday evening. My 16-year-old loves America's Funniest Videos, right?
Oh, wow.
Home videos, which is basically people falling. And every time I see them, I can feel every one of my titanium screws come loose when I watch all the people fall. But my son loves it, so we watch that. American Idol is on after that, right? And you'd think the show would get old because it's been around for 400 years, but it's still fun to watch. I think they do fine. Jennifer J. Jeffries, 17 years old, a high school student in Starkville, Mississippi, got up there and was absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
And the judges were like, your voice is unique. You've got a special skill. You got a special talent. It was just a wonderful moment. And it's so good to see one of our 17-year-olds who's not only off doing something really cool, but doing it on the national stage and doing really well. So.
And in a post-Simon Cowell world, she is doing amazing things. Mississippi always finds some crazy talent.
We do really well on those kind of shows.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Chapel Heart,
which
they're back out doing another round too and doing really well too. So that was good. Couple others wanted to point out. Oh, yeah. The Blue Mountain basketball team. I love that girls basketball team. High school. I mean, the town doesn't even have a stoplight. Right. They won the state championship. It was just such a great story. And you love that for the kids, because that's going to give them some confidence and something to carry for the rest of their lives.
And for the town, for the community.
And for the town and the community, too. So it was super, super amazing, too. So I'm really wanted to throw that. And the final one is a personal one. I want to throw a huge, huge congratulations and hug to my beautiful spouse, Amy, who National Board Certification, which a lot of teachers know exactly what that is. It's almost like getting a master's degree, but you do it. You go through the program. She did it. She's an art teacher, and she got it in art. And so today is her pinning ceremony, so I'm going to go. This morning I got her some flowers from the boys and I, so I thought that was really cool. Go, Amy. So we're very proud of her. She is, of course, working right now and cannot hear this and would probably be mad that I brought it up. But she's awesome, and I'm very proud of her. All right. Without further ado, Peter, you and I, the last conversation we had was on Conversations right here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. You don't look any different. I look way older. It was 7 years ago.
Oh, my.
What has time done? It's just flown past. But I am just thrilled, A, that you're here, and B, why you're here, because you got the Governor's Arts Award.
Well, thank you. That was a really nice surprise that I was even nominated, and then winning it was, well, it's very special because it's from the home.
That's right.
And unlike the sports, when the home is advantage, I think for people who are in the field like me, home is really a disadvantage.
It is. It seems like our artists, our writers, our musicians, they all have to leave Mississippi to go make it become famous.
Or die.
Or die, yeah. And luckily, neither one of us have done that yet.
No, we are still here.
We are still here. I was thrilled, though, because like you said, I've always loved the Governor's Arts Awards because you see people sometimes that are unsung or maybe... I was joking, but I'm not joking. I'm holding up your resume, and it's 7 pages front and back.
Well, double-spaced.
Double-spaced, that's right. And you used a big font so that people like me can read it, so that was good, too.
Thank you.
What an amazing career you've had. And, I love how it started, because you were a kid, and puppetry, which where you were growing up, puppetry was obviously a big thing. And yeah. So it's kind of was kind of a no-brainer for you to be exposed to it. But you just kind of dove right into it and fell in love with it.
Well, it happens when you are real. Well, to me, I got the bug when I was really, really young. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the history of puppetry back in Czechoslovakia. It kind of, the sport and puppetry, surprisingly, went kind of hand in hand. There was a large gymnastic organization back even in the 1800s. And but what they do in addition to gymnastic, they also did puppets, marionettes. So no surprise when my father joined the local soccer club. Okay, soccer.
Football, yes. Yes.
That's the worldwide.
Right.
Sorry about Americans who cannot enjoy it.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, gotta love some. I mean, it's football with a round ball that you actually can't touch with your hands. Yeah.
Right. And it's a football, so you use your foot to move the ball.
Okay, we're going to talk about this for the next hour because I think this is going to be a lot of. But they did. It was a big thing. Did you play as a kid? Did you play football? Soccer?
Okay, who did not?
Oh, that's true. Okay.
You know, my grandchildren now play soccer, you know, because they already know it from their fathers, mothers, and they got it from me. And so anyway, it's all about having fun on the field, running around and kicking the ball. So anyway, when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my father joined as a functionary, not as a player, never. But he loved being a functionary. So he was running this, or helping to run this soccer club. And in one of the rooms there, one of the coaches set up his puppet theater. Okay.
So people just randomly would set up puppet theaters.
Well, he was doing puppets and he was also coaching.
Okay.
So, you know, he had, there was a space and he used it. Then eventually, this small group became professional, and actually it was in 1950-something, 1953, 1954, when they became the first professional puppet theater in Slovakia. So, but then as things go around, because we... I mean, Czechoslovakia was part of the Soviet bloc. In Moscow, there was this big puppet theater, but they were using ROD puppets. Mm-hmm. So now everybody in Czechoslovakia had to switch to RAD puppets.
Which is, that was
strange, but true.
So at this point, I mean, and I think about, you know, when I grew up, I used to draw Snoopy and used to draw Charlie Brown. And then and then one day I met a real live cartoonist a little bit, and he was very nice and said, oh, yeah, I'll be able to help you. When you're learning how to do puppetry, you obviously bumped into people along the way that were that kind of became your mentors.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And definitely having the local professional theater, and then also being part of the Young Pioneers, which was really kind of pro-communist. I mean, that's not good explanation. There was nobody against the communists.
Right, because it would have been hazardous for your health.
Right.
Yeah.
But if there was something good about the socialistic system was their focus on youth. It's kind of funny that, strange, no? As a young pioneer, I was having puppets and being part of the group in a young pioneer house, which was taken away from a Jewish banker. And it was, you know, that was quite normal after the war. Things were not given back to people who used to own them, but the state took over. And so anyway, in one of these houses, they gave us the room, they gave us the support, they got somebody from the professional theater to come in and help us. And then because that professional theater, which again used to be, well, and still is, in a gym that used to belong to Maccabi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now they have an agreement that now that space was given back to the Jewish group, and they are renting it from the puppet theater is renting it from this Jewish group for like $1 or $2.
Oh, that's great. So they can keep the puppetry alive, but once again, it's back to where it needs to be. What, I mean, I was just thinking about that today. So if you were growing up today there, would there still be the puppetry and would you still be able, do you think you'd be who you are today if you grew up there today?
Well, that is really difficult to answer because there was such a big break.
Yeah.
After 89, when the communists were overthrown, and then, of course, Czechoslovakia has split into the Czechia and Slovakia. So hard to tell where I would be today.
Yeah. And you'd probably be looking at your phone anyway, like all the other kids, right?
No.
No, I'm just kidding you. No. But I mean, it was, I mean, like I said, you just, it was like a perfect storm. You were literally exposed to it. You fell in love with it. You did the work. And when you love something, it's a lot easier to put in the hours.
Oh, absolutely. My advice to those who are looking what to do in the future, try to do what you love.
Yes.
I mean, if you love it, monies go aside, and what you do is you enjoy what you are doing. And that's what my life was about. I never done, except for a couple of months working on a Wall Street, and that was the only time where I when I was really around big money. But otherwise, I was doing, being really lucky, only what I enjoyed.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that because, I mean, 1968 happened. The Russians came in.
Oh.
And your family, I mean, everybody, you got out. And I'm pretty amazed that you were able to get out. On that too, was it? What I was gonna say, because I just remember East Germany and how hard it was to get out of East Germany. So
well, but we left in '67.
Oh, okay,
and again, my father was functionary in a big sport club. So he knew everybody, and everybody knew him. So when he asked for passports to be able to immigrate to America, we had to wait like 3 years, on and off, yes, no, yes, no. So now, according to his story, in one of the big meetings which he had about the sports club was that if you manage to get our home team back to the first division, you get your passports.
Okay.
Okay. So we did that, and we got...
That's how it happened.
That's how it happened.
Steroids for everybody. We're going to America.
Well, the crazy part was that when we first time asked for the passport, requested to immigrate, I just left for college.
Yeah.
And I was in Prague. He was in Slovakia, Žilina. And, you know, when you are in Prague and you are 17, you meet somebody. What happened was then, also, to make a phone call, you had to make a date with your parents and then go to the post office and have that post office dial the number for you. And I got a message one day to call home, and I called home, and we got connected, and I was told that to send my official ID home because we are going to request the immigration papers. And the one at the post office was this really cute gal. Well, and there is, the rest is the history.
Oh, no. That's how you met your wife?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Well, I had to go there that day like 3 times because we needed to connect. And
you're pretty smooth. I mean, seriously, if you just took 3 times going to the post office and she wanted to marry you.
No. It wasn't that fast.
Okay. I meant to say you're good.
No, actually, what happened after her, after she was finished, I waited for her.
Yeah.
And I said, well, can I take you home?
Like you say no to that. You're listening to Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Marshall Ramsey. Man, we got a great guest today. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I am. Last time I interviewed Peter Zapatel was 7 years ago on Conversations on MPB Television, and now he's back. He is a Governor's Arts Award winner this time. He's bringing even more hardware to the table, even though he's got 5 Emmys and I'm in a host of other awards. In fact, I went and one of his Emmys for TikTok Shorts, which, by the way, you were TikTok before TikTok was cool. It's because now all the kids have it on the phone. Everybody does the TikTok, but you were doing TikTok.
Oh.
Yeah. So you did the TikTok Shorts back here. You were telling me a great story how you met your wife. She worked at the post office. Y'all have been married 57 years. Congratulations. You should win a governor's award for that also, I think. Definitely. I'm 31, so I'm a little bit behind you on that, but I understand. That's incredible. You've got a great family. I can't even fathom, though, you know, you grew up, like I said, in Czechoslovakia. Things were getting tense, obviously, with the Russians and everything else like that. Your family decided to leave. And I guess most of all your family decided to leave. That's got to be so hard to leave what you know and where you've grown up and so forth. But I guess the pressure and the heat had gotten to the point where you're realizing, man, New York sounds pretty darn good.
Well, I did not really have much.
You didn't have much choice.
Choice.
Okay. There's the answer right there. I had to. Yeah.
My father decided we need to go to America.
Yeah.
Because my mother's cousin was the only one from the whole family of about 17 or 18 people who survived the World War II.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was lucky in a way that he ran away from Czechoslovakia before the German came in, and he eventually joined RAF, Royal Air Force.
Really?
Yes. He became a navigator. And so he was not there. Otherwise, he wouldn't make it. My mother was lucky in a way that she married my father, who was not Jewish.
Yeah.
Well, his mother was Jewish, so he was Jewish. But his father was not. And because of that, he got exemption back in Slovakia. And because of that, my mother got exemption because of my father. But then in 1944, there was a big uprising against the Slovakian government that was very Nazi, fascist.
Yeah.
Okay. The president was eventually hanged, but so once the uprising was stopped, it was stopped because the president of Slovakia called in Germans to come in and help out.
Yeah.
So that was the end of anything democratic. And they said no more exemptions. Okay, my father was lucky he got out, but mother was taken to a work camp.
Wow.
In Slovakia.
Yeah.
And then my father, you know, back there, everybody knew everybody, seems like. And somebody from the work camp, on one of his visits, came to him and he said, if you come in next time, we'll keep you here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually the transports started, and they were shifting all the people from the camps, work camps, toward Poland, Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And in the meanwhile, it turned out that my mother was pregnant. So she was 2 months pregnant when she was taken to Poland. They stopped by Auschwitz, but eventually she was moved to another camp because nobody could tell that she was pregnant yet. And luckily, the war was coming to the end. Actually, Poland, Auschwitz, was liberated by Red Army mm-hmm. then, and that was in January, but she had to stay in Poland because Slovakia was still occupied
yeah.
by the Germans.
She didn't want to jump back into the fire, so. Yeah.
No. Well, she could not.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
That was two different fronts.
Yeah.
But then came the May 9, which German troops have given up, and yours truly was born on the 14th.
That's incredible. I mean, you're sitting here right now just because the train kept moving past Auschwitz.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's incredible. So,
yeah, that's life.
That's life. That's right. Everything's random and beautiful and sometimes scary, but... you know, you had to kind of feel that way when you were coming to New York, but it really turned out to be, for you and puppetry, turned out to be a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah, and New York Times even said that you were a talent to watch.
Yeah, we did one of the shows at the Puppeteers of America Festival. So, you know, with a pedigree.
Yeah.
I had coming from... Czechoslovakia.
Which was pretty much the senator of the puppetry world. I mean,
correct.
Yeah.
Well, but after one of the, after our first show, you know, everybody was applauding everything, but there was this lady who came to me. And she pushed me into the corner. And she said, "You came from Czechoslovakia. You need to do better than this."
Wow.
Well, everybody, she always told what she thought.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed knowing her. And I was thinking what she said and...
You got to appreciate that, though, the fact that she's honest and open and gives you constructive criticism.
And eventually...
You did do better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the problem was that we were trying to do something with people who were not trained for it.
Yeah.
Okay? Just because it was... in fashion.
Yeah, I get that, and totally. But like I said, New York was such a great, just kind of a great laboratory for you because you were around people that were really good. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of experience. You got a lot of opportunity. The fact that, you know, and I love talking to people that end up in Mississippi, how they got to Mississippi stories, because it's always something incredibly random or so forth. You literally saw an ad from Mississippi Public Broadcasting, which at the time was something else.
Right.
Mississippi Educational Television.
ETV.
Yeah, yeah. ETV, that's right. For a puppeteer in residence, which I think is the coolest job title ever.
Actually, it was visual manipulator.
Ooh, I even like that better. Somebody thought really hard for that one. Visual manipulator. That's what I do as a cartoonist, but it's a little different.
Yeah. They had to work around the legislature.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, yeah.
So, but anyway, from the day one when I came here, it was just fun.
You did so many different cool things here. You really did. I mean,
if you don't do cool things, what do you want to do?
Exactly. Why even go to work, right?
Right.
Right. It was just fun. It's fun when you walk in there because there's still a handful of people here that know you. I mean, from when you worked here and so forth. Kevin, you know Kevin. But it's got to be kind of weird to walk back in the building after all these years. And, of course, all your puppets are still – you've got several of your puppets are in glass cases and proudly on display, I might add. The Emmy one is proudly on display. So it's like your legacy in this building is still a big part of what we do.
Nothing happened just – no.
You had a lot of good people to work with.
Too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Was trying to say.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, but that's the thing. You can't, you can put on a puppet show by yourself, for instance, but, you know, when you had, like you said, you were working with people in New York that didn't know what they were doing, but you had the blessing here to be able to work with a lot of real, and that's what I feel about it too. I mean, I get to work with a lot of really talented people.
Well, I had the support of the whole art department.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not good at art. I cannot draw.
It's overrated, trust me.
Oh, well, maybe it is, but still, I really enjoyed that there were people in the art department, and also there were people around me as a technical engineering. There were other producers, directors. For example, you have mentioned the tornado in
Rolling Fork.
Rolling Fork.
Yeah.
Well, Henry Klein was one of the directors I met here, and I have learned from him a lot because he was also new guy, and we were always trying to figure out something else. You know, there are engineers, people in engineering, we were driving crazy because we were figuring out things the machines could not do. Well, they had to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, you were pushing boundaries. I mean,
but that was the fun.
But that was the fun of it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, what can I say? If you don't push, you won't get anywhere.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, like I said, seriously, I could read off your awards. I could probably do this for 6 hours, but the point was you didn't come in for golden statues. You didn't come in it because you did it because you loved doing it, and you loved pushing the boundaries. And guess what? The awards and the rewards all came later, right? And that's really how we all should. Anybody who's creative or anybody who's not creative, that's how you should approach life and your job.
And I was lucky to find a wife at a post office who knew how to sew.
Yeah, because otherwise your puppets would be naked. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want naked puppets. That's very disturbing. So.
But if you are here at ETV, MPB,
and
you look at the work, the fine work she has done.
I was admiring that because I remembered that she had done that, and I'm sitting here looking at the puppets really closely. She does beautiful work.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were very smart. Not only was she good looking, she was very talented.
Yes.
You married well, my friend.
I did.
Yeah.
And he took a few phone calls.
A little bit of salesmanship on your part, but it all worked out really well. But that's great. She's been a big part of it, been a team. Y'all have been a great team for so many years.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is really the secret to a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then having kids who are turning out really well.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard your son likes the soccer coach like you did.
Yeah, and he is the same problem.
Wait a minute, problem. Okay, we need to dive into this now. Did you have a bit of a temper when you were a soccer coach, or what was it? Or were you just real demanding?
Well, I was coaching just kids.
Well, I know. That's what makes it more fun, right?
Well, if your team wins, yes. But Kevin can attest to it.
Yeah.
We did not do very well. And the most heart pain is when the kids after the game stops and looks at you and says, "Coach, when are we going to win?"
Oh. Well, as you know, as an Atlanta Falcons fan for many years, I understand how that feeling is. So, yeah. Coach, when are we going to win? Well, I mean, so now that you're retired again, are you thinking about going back into coaching full time?
No.
Okay. Let your son do that.
I let him do it, and I probably would end up with a heart attack after I ran out there. So
my kids don't draw, which is I joke and I tell people I used to hit their hands with a ruler so they would go get a better career, you know, so they'd be lawyers or something. But but they're very creative on that. Did your kids pick up any of the puppetry or anything? Or
no.
Yeah, so we're in the same boat. Yeah.
No,
but that's okay.
Our daughter loved playing piano. Yeah. She just devoted her youth to piano playing. So she has a couple of awards from a state competitions.
Nice. Yeah.
But our son, he wanted just to do something. He was trying to find something. He went to college, University of Arizona, and then one day he got together with a group in New York, and he was working on some kind of a database or something, and he kept asking questions and et cetera, et cetera. Then eventually the people in New York said, "You are just asking too many questions. Why don't you come and work with us?" So he was working even before he finished, graduated, and he still works with a company. He is one of those COOs or whatever.
So the bottom line is it, and I can tell you this, I mean, when my kids do anything good, I'm more proud than anything I've ever achieved. Mm-hmm. And you're in that position. So you get to, yeah, you get to be a proud papa.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and our daughter has a doctorate in occupational therapy. She's on faculty and who knows where they end up, but...
Well, I mean, I think it sounds like between your wife and you that they didn't have a chance to be anything but talented. So they had some good genes.
Or slacking off.
I'm not going to say anything on that one. I don't want to get in trouble. I got to say this, though, and just your ability with the puppets, and I've seen the videos and watched some of your work. And I heard this compliment about your work. It's like you can almost tell what the puppet's thinking. That's really good. If you can do that, make somebody know what a puppet is thinking, that means you're a master at your craft.
Well, I think it was more a compliment.
Well, no, I know. I know. We're in the South. But people do that, but I get that. But I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Well, I love rat puppets.
Yeah.
And I think I remember the show he was talking about and where the quote came from. And there is something special being able to express something through your hands, arms, through the puppet, you know.
And it's great for kids to watch that too, to be able to see that kind of storytelling.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really appreciated all the teachers who invited us. Most of them were librarians. So we had many friends, librarians, who invited us over and over to their schools.
Well, so, I mean, it's like you came here and your mission with the puppetry, and you really fell into our mission here, is the education mission. And so you were able to combine education with the puppetry, and it just was like peanut butter and jelly. It just was a great combo.
Yep.
Really was.
Yeah, it really worked out.
Man, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation today. It's been a fun one. We have Governor Arts Award winner. That's a nice ring to that. Also Emmy winner and a few other awards as well. And, of course, a longtime employee right here at MPB, Peter Zapatel. Peter, this has been a pleasure. I just loved it. I mean, I love hearing, too. Thank you for sharing the story about your mom and so forth. And I know the show Masters of the Air is on right now on about World War II. And I think sometimes we forget what the sacrifice and the struggle was and how random life was and how really kind of cheap life was back then. And so the fact that you know, thankfully, she was able to live and go on, and you're here, and we're able to have this conversation. That was very powerful. And you said that you had no idea you were going to get a Governor's Arts Award. You had no idea. You had no idea. When the phone call came, it was a surprise.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you think somebody was pulling your leg?
No, because...
it sounded official.
But it came from a friend who made a nomination.
Yeah, and the Mississippi Arts Commission's been a big friend to you for many years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without Arts Commission, we wouldn't have done anything, nothing.
Yeah.
So it was the grant that went to the schools.
Yeah.
And the Arts Commission set it up pretty well that the school then must request the grant for the performer.
Yeah.
So it was not like, okay, you go to that school.
Yeah, no. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you obviously had a quality product, so the schools wanted you to come in, but the schools had the money from the Arts Commission. So
correct.
That's kind of how it worked out.
Yeah. So. The Arts Commission gave them half of the fee, and if I can say something, that should be raised because it's still the same as it was.
yeah, there has been inflation since then.
Yeah.
But just not with that. So,
but it should be at least doubled, if not tripled, because everything costs much more, and the touring is really expensive, and touring with
two, three, four people. Yeah.
I mean, hotels did not get any cheaper. gas is not cheaper either, and the food in the restaurants is
definitely not cheaper. That's definitely got more expensive.
Right.
We got a minute left, and I really wish. See, I told you you were worried that we were going to be talking for an hour, but this has gone by really quickly.
Oh.
What's your final thoughts? Because, like I said, you've had an amazing career here, both at MPB and in Mississippi. Mississippi has, you know, I mean, who would have thunk? I always joke I came here for 2 years and I've been here for 28.
Oh, that's funny because I came here for a year.
Yeah. Exactly. It is truly the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
No, the ad said, join us for a year off.
Yeah.
Creative, whatever.
Well, Peter, I'm glad that you hung around early.
Well, you too? Me too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, it's
would not change it.
No, it definitely. It's been good for both of us, I think.
Definitely, yes.
But I'm very thrilled. When I saw your name on that list, I was just thrilled for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Marshall.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll get you back again sometime because I don't even think I touched 10% what all I wanted to talk about. That's just how great your life's been. Hey, thank you for listening. A special thanks for our special guests for joining us. And if you'd like to hear this or any past episodes, you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app on our MPB Public Media app. Now You're Talking is a production of MPB Think Radio with episode and podcast produced by the incredible Lacey Alexander. And join us again next Monday at 10. I'm Marshall Ramsey. I hope y'all have an amazing week.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.